Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at 95, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Seth Habhacker.
Good morning, all.
We got entertainment news, some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day all on the way for you. But we kick things off on Thursdays in the 9 o'clock hour with our Pet of the Week from the Southwick County Humane Society. Executive Director over there, Madison Rafter, joining us. Madison, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good. Good.
Good to hear.
And we're doing good.
Very cool. Very good to hear, Madison. We appreciate that. We know how busy you are, so I don't like to keep you too long here, Madison. Let's get right to our Pet of the Week.
Our Pet of the Week this week is Reba. Mm. And Reba, I could not tell you what color pattern she is. I mean, if I'm going to take a best guess, she looks like a Siamese tortie mix. But I could not tell you.
Wow.
Little Miss Reba is a one-year-old female domestic short-haired cat. She came into us as a stray, and we don't have a lot of history on her. She is spayed, microchipped, and up-to-date on vaccines. And then personality-wise, she's kind of more of a shy cat. She really just kind of keeps to herself. And then once she's comfortable, she just wants to curl up in your lap and just be pet and wants to snuggle. And it just takes a little bit of time for her.
She's got a very unique coat, Madison. I could see how it would be difficult to describe, but it is beautiful. It's got a very nice cream, and I think cream chocolate color to it, like you describe here on the website. You can find Reba at swchs.com. Her eyes, though, Madison, those are beautiful.
She's a gorgeous cat. I don't think I've ever seen a color pattern like her before.
Yeah,
I mean, bluish eyes before, but the colors, I couldn't even tell you what she is.
Yeah. You got to see her to find out. The beautiful cat, very beautiful cat. And you say that her personality, she likes to keep to herself, so it seems like she'd be a good fit in maybe a one-person house or a quieter house or a retirement home.
Yeah, potentially. I think she could do well with a family. She just really needs time to come out of her shell. Mm. She's been with us a couple of weeks, and she's now just starting to blossom quite a bit, where previously she used to just kind of hide under her beds and keep to herself. And now that she's had time to decompress, she's now starting to kind of flourish a little bit.
Hmm. Nice.
Madison, how are things going over at the shop? How are things going right now?
We're good. We're still busy. We still have cats coming in daily, so we're definitely very full on cats. Our dog renovations are going very well, so we're very excited for that. So hopefully that should be finished up before the end of January.
Very exciting. Drove past the building this weekend, and I haven't gotten a chance to in a while, and I saw, I was looking at where the dogs used to be, mm-hmm. and just imagining what that's going to look like. So those are going to be closed-in shelters then.
Yep. We're in redoing the inside of our building. So mm-hmm. the inside of our dog kennels, so all of our kennels that we previously had are ripped up. The concrete is ripped up. So the new kennels that will be going in will have new floors, new kennels, new HVAC system. We will have a dog playroom eventually. So that was something that has been a very longing project we've needed. So we're very excited for that.
It is a really exciting project.
Yeah.
With that being said, though, Madison, there's some things that we got to do to kind of help you guys out in this process. When it comes to dogs or cats, are holding off on dropping them off right now, correct?
Well, we're holding off on taking in surrenders. So
yes,
at this time,
yes.
We're not able to take surrenders. We're still able to take strays with our contract. So we do have dogs we are holding currently, but we're very limited on kennel space. So it's kind of flipping and flapping dogs a little bit. But with that being said, if it's something that you're looking to surrender, we do ask that you call us so that we can add you to a wait list. We aren't able to take them in at this time. But if it's something that you're looking for rehoming services, we do have rehoming services we can provide you as well.
Hmm. Madison, is there anything in need over there that we can help out with?
Yep, with it still being kitten season, shockingly, in the middle of December, we're still in need of kitten food, kitten wet food, senior dry food, pretty much any kind of cat food, cat litter, you name it.
Mm. And if people want to drop things off, if they want to help out or find out other ways they can help out, Madison, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can give us a call at 715-423-0505. Donations can always be dropped off during our business hours, which is going to be Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays from 11 to 6 and Saturdays 10 to 4. Otherwise, they can visit our website at swchs.com to view our donation list as well.
Madison, did you guys name Reba?
We did name her Reba.
I knew it. I knew it. She looks like a Reba, doesn't she?
Nice.
She looks like a Reba. I think it fits her personality.
Yeah, it really does. It really, I that's a Reba. Like, I look at that cat, like, even if it didn't have the name up, I'm like, that's Reba. That's Reba. That's a great name. And a great cat. Again, you really have to see a picture of her to get a real great idea of what we're talking about, describing this beautiful cat and all these other great animals over at the Southwick County Humane Society. Madison, we greatly appreciate everything you and your team over there do for our community. You guys keep up the great work. We will talk... next Thursday. I had to double check that next Thursday is not Christmas. I had to double check. Make Madison work with us on Christmas Eve. We're not going to do that to you, Madison. We appreciate you very much, Madison. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Take care. Again, Madison Rafter joins us every Thursday in this 9 o'clock spot with our Pet of the Week. Mm-hmm. Find out about Reba and all these other great animals over at the Southwick County Humane Society. You can find out more at SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com. You can also give them a call at 715-423-0505, 423-0505. You can always email them as well. Their email is SWCHS at SWCHS.com, SWCHS at SWCHS.com.
More Reba.
Yeah, nicely done. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun with entertainment on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing a sleighing song tonight. A jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle.
I know that voice. Who is that?
He's an older singer. Joe Williams.
It is Joe Williams.
Yes.
Okay.
Kind of a remixed version. If you've seen the film Iron Man 3.
Yes, yes.
There's a scene when Tony plays that song in the movie. So, yep.
Well done. Well done, Mr. Bumper King. Bumper King over here, Seth Abagger. Nice work. We dive into some entertainment news now. But again, a big shout out to Madison Rafter and our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society. Appreciate them joining us with our Pet of the Week.
Man, they got so much going on right now there. Yeah. Woo, it's crazy.
Really, really busy time right there. I appreciate that she makes the time for us.
Yes.
And everything she does in our community. She is amazing.
She's
people.
An amazing
she really
person,
is.
Yes.
I want to talk about an amazing person right now. We lost over the weekend Andre Brower. Maybe not a household name, but I think one of those actors that you see, you probably recognize.
Yes.
Maybe you remember him from the great work he did in the movie Glory. Which is where a lot of us first saw him.
First saw him in that one, yeah.
I know that I, like many people out there, when I think of Andre Brower, I think of Homicide: Life on the Street.
Oh, he was amazing in that show.
One of the grittiest shows in TV history.
Right.
Period.
It was criminally washed, and it was such a good show. The ensemble cast was amazing, and they had these interesting, fascinating storylines. I will never forget. Speaking to him as an actor, the storyline when his character has a stroke.
Yeah.
And then him acting, coming back from that was just amazing.
Goosebumps.
Yeah.
Goosebumps.
One of the great acting, TV acting performances ever.
He's one of the biggest influences I have because of Homicide: Life on the Street, because I didn't know him. I remember looking through the credits and being like, wow, okay, which one is he?
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Andre Brower. Okay, I'm remembering that name. I will never forget that name. That's how much he impacted me.
Yep.
And I think his work on Brooklyn 99 has been great. I haven't seen that show that much, but I love Andy Samberg. I love him on that show. Great cast.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a really good job with that show from what I've heard from other police officers, that they do a nice job on that show of not only treating officers with respect, but finding some humor in a very difficult thing.
Right, exactly.
Now, Andre Brower's work on Homicide: Life on the Street, nobody in cop TV show history will ever be better than getting somebody in the box than Andre Brower. Like, when he had you in the box, you were going to confess. Like,
yes.
you knew that was going to happen.
Right.
Such a strong actor. Mm-hmm. Such a committed actor. Mm-hmm. Almost every syllable you heard him say, you believed.
Right.
And that may seem like, well, that's the job of an actor. Well, you've all seen bad acting. You've all seen bad actors and stuff. It stands out when the guy was really good at what he did. City of Angels, he was really good in. Frequency, another great role of his.
Yeah. There's this TV show that he led for a while, and I really liked it. It was canceled much too soon, and I got to look it up because it's driving me crazy. What was it?
Men of a Certain Age.
Was it Gideon? No, Hack.
Oh, wow.
The crime series Hack. He was the lead in that, and he was really good.
I forgot about
that.
Sad that show
was canceled.
That was a good show. Yep. Yeah. Gideon's Crossing, another good performance from him.
He did it. That was a medical show, yeah.
And the last work that he did was a year ago, The Good Fight. He was on that for about 10 episodes. But Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I believe that he has been on there for a little while, it looks like. He will be missed.
Yes.
Very missed.
Wonderful actor.
Oh, way too young. Way too. 61. Yeah. Man, that ain't right. No. That ain't right. This could be a That Ain't Right story, actually. Maybe not, though. A stage musical based on the 1987 vampire classic The Lost Boys is in the works. I'm not joking. It's a real thing. This is not a That Ain't Right story, everybody. The guys behind it include David Hornsby from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Patrick Wilson from like the Conjuring movies and everything.
Yep, yeah, good actor.
And the pop rock band The Rescues.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Casting hasn't been announced yet, so maybe they're we'll see what happens with this and everything. Mm-hmm. There is expectations that it will hit in 2025. So I don't know what's going to happen with this. But this speaks to more so the what is happening right now in the theater world, and mostly with Broadway, mm-hmm. where they're desperate for hits. And every time they get a hit, they don't seem to really treat it right, whether we're talking about Wicked or Hamilton or any of The Waitress or any of these big ones. Broadway has like a lot of old money and a lot of old people still kind of like with a lot of clout around there.
Yeah, the gatekeepers, right? Yeah.
And if it ain't Oklahoma, they're not really bending on it very much. I see why they're doing this. I also see that there's this like pull going on between the two organizations.
Right.
And I bring all that up because it's very similar to what's going on in a lot of urban cities, a lot of rural cities. Mm-hmm. You've got old and new. Trying to mend and trying to make things work.
Right. I think it's fascinating. So first of all, I got to quote the good book. No, there's nothing new under the sun.
Yes.
Okay. So I don't have a problem with them taking these. Okay. The Lost Boys was a decent success when it came out in 1987, but it didn't set the world on fire.
No.
It became more of a cult classic afterwards with VCR and all that stuff. It doesn't bother me that they might take a maybe questionable, source material to make a good music. You can do it. Little Shop of Horrors is a great example.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen the original movie, it's not very good. Okay.
Yeah.
But they made it into a good musical.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
you can do that. I see that. But then there's Spider-Man.
And
you can make some really terrible things too.
I love the movie Little Shop of Horrors. It's not very good, but you're right.
Yeah.
You're right about that. But I do love that movie.
I do too. It's good
but
stuff.
That's a great example.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example of when you can do this and make it work.
Yes.
And
you can do it. Yeah.
You also brought up the prime example of it not being able to work with Spider-Man. Yeah. Was it In the Dark or something like that?
Into the Dark or Out of the Dark or Into the
Kissing the Dark. Hugging the, I don't know what it was, some weird, but like, for those that don't know what we're talking, we're referencing the shortest lived Broadway show ever, like two nights, and one night it had to close early because of a set malfunction.
Technical issues, yeah.
So they actually weren't even open a full two nights of that show.
And it took like 10 years to get off the ground.
And a lot of money.
They're paying U2 to do the music for it. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. And this all ties into our next topic, actually, because everything that you think might work doesn't always work, whether it's on stage or on screen. We see this all the time where we see popular TV movie actors go to Broadway or go to the stage, and some of them make it and do a really good job, and some of them stay there, and some just can't make it work. Julia Roberts is one of the best actors of the last 30, 40 years. I don't think most people would fight me on that one. Even if you don't think she's one of the best, she's one of the most popular actors of the last 30, 40 years, certainly. But she famously did Broadway and like one show, and that was it. I think she did technically two shows, but her performance was so bad that she did. They recast her in the middle of it, and with a no-name actor, nonetheless. It actually kind of set her career back a little bit and everything. And it's hard to imagine now, but it kind of did.
Yep.
And Julia Roberts has been very honest about this, been very honest about a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. I admire a lot of the way that she handles herself in interviews. Have you ever wondered where Julia Roberts' various movie characters are going? Well, she knows. She shared the information on CBS Mornings the other day.
Oh.
I thought this was kind of interesting.
Okay.
Darby Shaw from The Pelican Brief. She and Denzel Washington's character, Gary Gratham, are, quote, absolutely together.
Okay, all right, nice.
She believes that they're... Now, famously in that movie, and this is kind of famously known about Denzel Washington, he has in his contracts, he will not kiss women. He is not going to do that. Denzel's maybe the greatest actor of his generation. Mm-hmm. He can pull off anything, but his wife is not allowing that.
We mentioned his wife before. She's awesome. But yeah.
in more seriousness, it's something that out of respect to his wife, and not only his wife, but to his cast members' partners, he's never wanted to cross that line.
Which is really interesting. Yeah.
I find that very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, in this scenario, there was actually a scene in The Pelican Brief where the characters kissed. Her and Denzel talked about it before, like in the pre-reading, and were like, we don't think this works. But Julia Roberts, for many interviews, has talked about this, like, I missed the opportunity to get Denzel Washington. I love how, like, she's just a fan about it,
right?
And stuff.
But. Yeah. Can I do a quick sidebar here about that kind of thing in movies and thing? The last couple of years, you've seen something, or maybe you've heard something about what's called an intimacy coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
On movie sets. And they're basically there to make sure if there's any, as simple as, like you said, a kissing scene. They're there to make sure everyone's comfortable, make sure there's no lines being crossed, to make sure that the crew and the director knows what's expected of them and all that. It could go from that to like the most intimate of scenes on there. And the fact that it's taken this long to have something like that. We've had stunt coordinators for how long since the movies have been around? To keep them safe, right?
Exactly.
They're there to keep people safe. Well, this is so much more. There's these intimate scenes that can have such a big psychological effect on actors and everything. I'm so happy that they're starting to do that now and that they're starting to have these people on there. That's their job on the set, to make sure everything goes above board, that everyone's comfortable with what they're doing. And if something, you know, happens, that they're there to stop production, to make sure that no one's hurt or anything like that.
Our uncomfortableness with talking about sex and in any way, any shape or form, in any layer or level of it, has been us shooting ourselves in the foot as a society for way too long.
I agree.
There's a lot of things that have come from that, from everything from people that have been abused, feeling ashamed to come forward, to many, many other things that this has trickled into.
Right.
They probably could have used somebody like that on just about every movie Marlon Brando ever did. You know?
If you think back about how they've treated these things back in the day, it's like, really bad.
It's nasty.
Yeah.
It's nasty. That ain't art. That's not filmmaking.
No, it's not. No. That's exploitation.
That's a great point to make. I appreciate you making that. Daisy from Mystic Pizza, her character Daisy.
Wow.
That's a throwback.
That's way back, yeah.
She's still together with Charles Adam Stroke, and they have, quote, a bunch of cute little kiddos. What about Maggie Carpenter from The Runaway Bride? The movie she did back in the day. She's still in a committed relationship with Ike, also played by Richard Gere. Julia said, quote, he doesn't die in this one.
Oh, I love that.
That's good.
To change the ending. I love it.
Did he die in the original
one? I have never seen it. I wouldn't know.
I never saw it. No. And finally, of course, maybe I think pretty safe to say her most famous role, Vivian Ward from Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman, yep.
She's now a business mogul after Edward, played by Richard Gere, died peacefully in his sleep from a heart attack, and she took over. I love that she's thought about this and has ready answers for you. Like the interviewer just brought these things up and she just had them all locked and ready to go.
She had them ready to go.
If anybody else that has ever acted before, please tell me if you've ever done this because I have.
Have you? Oh, that's great though. Yeah.
Almost every out of the 101 roles I've played, I'd say at least 70, 80 of them I've done this with. I can't help myself.
What happens in the future? That's cool though.
Well, as an actor, we're taught early on, even if there is not a backstory, build a backstory for this character.
Right.
It helps you make a character that's 2D, 3D.
Right.
It helps make it more legitimate. If I believe it more, the audience is going to believe it more. That was the first lesson in acting to me. So the more I give of a depth to this character, they were born here. They broke their nose when they were 14, like little things like that. I believe the character more.
Could add to, just to the richness.
But for some, there's no stop button. I can't just stop that. I end up thinking about what they're doing in retirement or these other things and stuff. I get that she would do this. It makes a lot of sense to me.
I think you're right. A lot of actors do this. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not crazy. I'm not saying it's a form of insanity. But then again, so is acting. You know, we're playing pretend for a living. I mean, you got to be a little crazy.
It just kind of shows that we as much as we enjoy TV shows and stuff, we don't have to take them that seriously.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do this. All right. You know, all the people out there that hated the way The Sopranos ended, come up with your own ending.
Yeah.
Say, no, I don't like that. I think this is what really happened. You can do that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong. You can come up with your own ending for stuff. If you don't like it, go ahead and do it.
Especially endings like that where it doesn't give you
very ambiguous.
Yes, it leaves it open for interpretation. You can think whatever you want. There's no wrong answer for something.
And that's
like that.
To me, that's fun. That's cool to be able to do that. I love it.
I think it's one of the strongest ways to end things, where I know a lot of people think it's lazy or not giving a true ending. I think it's actually very creative to leave it on the audience.
I'm with you 100%.
And finally, in entertainment, want to make sure that everybody goes to this great show tonight. Let's give them a full house, a candle in the window. The most recent Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater holiday production. It gets back into action tonight. They're going to have a show tonight, tomorrow, and on Saturday. All these shows are at 7. Saturday, they'll have a 2 o'clock matinee.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure to take that in.
Yep.
Wonderful Christmas play that is not maybe one of those, the first ones you think of, like It's a Wonderful Life or some of those, but boy, a very well written and going to be incredibly well acted play.
Yes, absolutely. We of course we're so biased, but that's there's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
Because we want you to go and see this. Keep it alive, everyone. We know you are going to have a good time.
A wonderful cast, and in fact, if you can go to more than one night, I encourage you to go to wrctheater.org and see how they have two different sets of casts for this.
Yep.
For the kids.
Yep, that's right.
Be sure to check that out.
Yep, absolutely.
That's gonna check in and take in as many shows as you can and support local theater. Our great friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's holiday production, Candle in the Window.
Nice.
Back on stage tonight, live and direct at 7 o'clock. Again, tomorrow at 7 and on Saturday at 7 with a 2 o'clock matinee.
I was going to say, go check it out.
Yeah, get your tickets at wrctheater.org or you can get in the day of right there at the front desk.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break and get to some state and local news on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR. I take it back. This is my favorite Christmas song.
We're playing all the hits today for
you,
man.
Yeah, this is definitely my number one. Number two, Christmas in Hollins.
Okay, gotcha.
This is definitely my number one. And I think it's always been my favorite Christmas song because I remember being a little kid and watching the Charlie Brown Christmas special.
That's right.
Like many, many, many of you out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these bumpers play routinely, randomly. We don't know when they're going to come up. But they just, for some reason, sometimes they just line up perfectly.
I love it.
And we are going into the best Christmas movies for kids now.
How about that?
Just well played. Nicely done, bumpers.
AI, maybe there is AI that we don't know about.
Yeah, it might be. Tis the season for family movie nights. Entertainment Weekly put together a list of the best Christmas movies for kids.
All right.
We're going to go ahead and there's 20 of these, but we'll burn through some of them.
Yeah, right.
But at number 20, Frosty the Snowman from 1969.
That's one of my all-time favorites. Love Jimmy Durante. as the narrator on that, singing a couple of songs. I love Jimmy Durante.
It's great. It still holds up. It's really fun. But Jimmy Durante as the narrator is underrated.
Yes.
Oh, love it. Love it. It's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Way, way low on the list, The Nightmare Before Christmas from 1993.
Uh-oh.
Now, that's my top three favorite Christmas movies. But right. I also get that it's not necessarily considered a Christmas movie by some.
Is it the Christmas? Is it Halloween? You know, that's one of those things. Yeah. It's like a little confusing. When do I watch this?
I also can see how it's maybe not a traditional kind of Christmas movie for a lot of people out there, too. Shaun the Sheep, The Fight Before Christmas from 2021. I don't know that one.
Shaun the Sheep is a more recent kids show. It's kind of silly. It's kind of funny, but I like that. I didn't realize they had a Christmas special on
it. That's pretty good. Prep and Landing from 2009. Not sure what that is.
That's another animated one. A couple elves. Okay. Yeah, a couple elves. It's not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah.
At 16, Miracle on 34th Street from 1947.
Okay.
Mm. Another classic.
I would rate it a little higher myself, but I love that movie. I love that movie.
Is that, like, as far as Christmas classic movies, is that the most underrated of them, or the one of the more under talked about ones? Doesn't seem like it's talked about as much as some of the others, but it's certainly one of those classics.
I'm telling you, you've got not only do you have a young Natalie Wood, mm-hmm. Brilliant as the little girl. You've got Maureen O'Hara as her mom, another really good actor. But Edmund Gwynn, the man who played Santa, perfect Santa, perfect Santa.
Really hard to top that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ed Asner was a really good Santa.
Yeah, he was.
But even as great as Ed Asner is as an actor and all those things, I got to give you that one. I got to tip my hat on that one. That's a good one.
He's the best Santa ever, I think. Yeah.
The Polar Express comes in at number 15, 2004.
I've never watched it. It freaks me out.
You're not alone. recently, over the college football season, there were some kids that some walk-ons that got in trouble because they were watching the Polar Express while a game was going on. They came out afterwards and said, well, it just happened to be on TV in the room that they were in. But what came out of this was generations of kids coming out and saying that movie freaked them out as kids and all that. Like, they were really bothered by that movie.
The animation style is very distinct. Let's put it that way.
We got, I believe it was a Robert Zemeckis movie. You know, one of the better directors and everything, Tom Hanks in it. You know, you got some great people in it, and you have those pieces, and you immediately think, okay, we can rush this.
Mm.
And you cannot rush animation. You cannot. Any form of it. And we even rushed this animation, like this style of animation to movies and everything. It wasn't ready for. We just got excited with this technology and everything. Oh, we got to put this out there.
Went a little crazy with it, yeah.
I think if they did a Polar Express 2023, it would look a lot better and probably not freak out as many kids.
Yeah, I would agree.
Speaking of freaking kids out, Klaus from 2019. Just laid right there for me. Yeah, yeah, sitting right there.
Klaus.
For me. That was another one of those ones that I heard a little bit about that book. Let's see. At number 13, The Year Without Santa from 1974.
I believe that would be my wife's favorite one.
Oh.
The Year Without a Santa Claus. Yes. With the Heat Miser, the Cold Miser, of course. They're fun songs. Mm-hmm. The great voice cast, Mickey Rooney in on there. Shirley Booth.
Booth.
Yep. Yeah, it's a great one.
That was one of the ones that I remember the most growing up, mainly because of the Heat Miser.
It
was a fun, interesting, weird character.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love that one. But as far as like what we were saying about the Polar Express, like it makes more sense to me when people are weirded out by some of that animation from the 70s and stuff. It was a similar thing where it was this great new claymation, all this stuff that we were so excited to use, and we just kind of rushed right with it and everything. And I don't know. Like I think these they still hold up, those specials and everything, but they as a kid they were a little weird to me.
They were a little strange. Yeah.
Still loved them.
I think it's the way the characters move. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the thing that's a little, it's a little jerky, you know, kind of thing. I think people are a little, oh, that's weird.
Coming in at number 12, Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas from 1977. Perfect.
I have heard that show mentioned more in the last like 3 weeks than in my life.
Yeah. As Seth is kind of nicely referencing there, my daughter and I, Bria, we do a podcast mm-hmm. together, and we have a new episode drop every Monday. Mm-hmm. This year, Christmas lands on a Monday, mm-hmm. and we thought, well, we could take it off, or we could have a Christmas episode. So we did a special episode all focused on Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Awesome.
Got a lot of interesting stats and things that came out of that, along with just a bunch of fun improv we did. I had not watched that since I was a kid. I rewatched it just so that we could see this, and Bria had never seen it.
Oh, wow.
She knows now. There's Bria's favorite animals are foxes.
Oh.
And in the history of the Muppets, there's only been one Muppet fox, and it was in Emmett Otter's Jug Band. And I want credit. I want some points here because yeah. I did not spoil that for her. She found out in real time, right as it happened and everything. And I've not had to bite my tongue like that in a long time, but I did not want to tell her.
Being a good father there. That's what you're doing.
It's a fun one. I think that's a fun one to watch. It is based on the Gift of the Magi, mm-hmm. Loosely based, I suppose.
Yeah, right,
but it is a little bit based on that. I think that it's fun, too, if you are a Muppet fan to see. This is from 1977. And if you didn't know that watching it, you wouldn't guess that.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible how much these characters have evolved. And at the same time, the old techniques still work.
Still working.
Yeah.
Still working, yep.
Really fun one. The Christmas Chronicles comes in at number... Oh, I'm sorry. We jumped ahead. At number 11, Home Alone from 1990.
Okay. I can see that one. Yeah.
It's still hard for me to see that as a Christmas movie. I don't know why.
Really?
I don't know why. Everybody in the world seems to be fine with it. I don't know why. Well, I have
it's the Christmas is intricate to the plot, so without Christmas it wouldn't work.
Right.
So I can see. It's a Christmas movie.
I think of it to me as just more of a crazy like 80s movie. Like I know it came out in 1990, but that script was greenlit in the 80s.
Dude, it was directed by John Hughes.
Right. Yes.
The director of the 80s. Man, yes, that's why yes. It has that feel.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Journey from 2020 comes in at number 10. Don't know that one.
No clue. I do not know what that is.
Moving on. Number 9, The Christmas Chronicles from 2018. Mm, okay.
Christmas Chronicles. Is that the one with Kurt Russell as Santa
yes,
in it? Is
yes.
that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
he plays a good Santa.
I think. Oh, yeah, I bet. In the sequel or something like mm-hmm. that, I guess Goldie Hawn plays Mrs. Claus.
Yes, I believe that is correct.
And the only reason I've ever wanted to see those just to see those two work together.
See those two together, yeah.
I love them, too, and I'd like to see that. At number 8, Charlie Brown Christmas from 1965.
You know, I'm impressed it has held up so well. It's a rite of passage almost, mm-hmm. you know, it's passed down from generation to generation. It's so cool.
So many of these, when I see the name, I'm like, how is that not higher? And then I see the names ahead of it and I'm like, okay I get it. Like at number 7, A Christmas Story from 1983.
Yes. I'm not a big fan of that movie personally, but mm-hmm. I know for a lot of people it's a special one. So,
yeah, really is. And it's not so much for me, and I don't even know if this, I think this might be the case for a lot of people. It's not so much because the movie is great. It's not a bad movie. I love the movie. I mm-hmm. genuinely do. But I think it was played at a time on TV when we didn't have a lot of reruns. When we didn't every year at this time of year, It's a Wonderful Life would be on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And little things right. like that, we always knew we could count on. Oh, the Charlie Brown Christmas is going to be on this, you know, right. or whatever.
A week before or whatever, yeah.
And A Christmas Story was one of those movies. You just knew it was going to be on, so you saw it. You saw even snippets of it, or, yep. I'm going to stick around to see the scene where he puts his tongue on the, you know, on the lamppost or whatever and stuff. It's one of those ones that I think it's more about the nostalgia than it is about the actual movie.
Speaking of nostalgia, the first time I ever saw, like, a clip from that movie, mm-hmm. get this. Because I never watched it when I was a kid. I'm in the mall, and I'm walking by Suncoast Pictures.
Oh, nice.
And you knew they had the screens out, you know, showing movies. The first time I saw a clip from that was the Santa scene from A Christmas Story.
Oh.
I didn't know anything about it. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
Kind of, it was like, wow, it was very weird.
It's one of my favorite scenes in any Christmas movie ever. Ho, ho, and he just pushes it like it's so
slide,
good.
Yeah.
The camera angle of seeing Robbie as he's going, yep. perfectly done.
Yep.
It's perfectly done. How the Grinch Stole Christmas comes in from 1966 comes in at number 6.
All right, the classic
mm-hmm.
with Boris Karloff with the narrator and the great Thurl Ravenscroft as the singer. Oh, I love his voice.
I don't know if entertainment will ever have a better name than that.
Thurl Ravenscroft?
Yeah.
No, never. And I think that was his real name, too.
It was his real name, yeah. Yeah, I had to look it up. As a side note, Wolf Blitzer. I've heard so many people say, well, Wolf Blitzer, that ain't his real name. That's his real name.
That's his real name.
His real name. I just found that out like a little while ago, and I find that so interesting. The Santa Claus comes in at number 5 from 1994.
Yes, that's spawned an entire series now on Disney Plus.
Yeah,
still very popular.
And it's, you know, it's really interesting to me. Tim Allen has had a couple of roles that where he's Tim the Toolman Taylor, you know,
right,
that kind of thing. There's a generation that doesn't even think about that. They think of him as Santa Claus.
Santa Claus, absolutely.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting. I would imagine if I was him, if I was an actor, I would feel a lot of pride in that.
I would.
I have a number of roles, not just one that people kind of always known me as.
Right, 100%.
At number 4, It's a Wonderful Life from 1946.
Yes.
I
even though Christmas only comes towards the end,
yeah,
it's still a great movie. I love it. Yeah.
Now this one is interesting to me because it while it's a Christmas movie, I think any time of year you could watch that movie and feel something from it and get something from it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to give credit to this movie because I didn't the first half of my life until I actually did the play.
And in doing the
play and really, really like having to do a really quick, you know, dive into this character and becoming this character and everything. Mm-hmm. And I have such respect for Jimmy Stewart as an actor, but It's a Wonderful Life is one of those roles of his that I didn't really put a lot of stock into as a kid. It wasn't until as an adult seeing it and seeing the depths that he went to in that role that you wouldn't think of in a Christmas movie.
Right.
But because Jimmy Stewart's a thespian, because he was a true actor, he brought you to those spots where you actually do feel like all hope is lost at certain
right,
points and things. And it's a really good performance by him.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, because I have done a radio version of Wonderful Life, and I played George Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the first thing you got to do is get out of your system doing the Jimmy Stewart thing.
Yes,
you know, it's
yes,
like, well, Mary, it was a very interesting situation.
You're so right,
we
yeah,
had. Well, you have to get that out because it's, you know, Jimmy Stewart. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
So first, do that. Second, it's such a fabulous part. I remember doing it. You know, it was just, you know, we were up and reading and doing our parts and stuff like that. When we got to the end and George is, you know, thanking, you know, thank you for giving me the second chance. And you're doing the part. And then out in the audience, you hear people sniffling.
Yeah.
And as an actor, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's
there's
a
nothing
win.
Like it.
Yeah, there's nothing like it.
Nothing like that. One of the greatest roles I'll ever play.
Yeah.
One of my favorite, that scene that you're talking about there, and the scene where I've always wanted to do this, and I finally got to in this show where I got to run into the audience.
Oh, okay.
Wishing everybody a Merry Christmas and all that, and would reference like people's hats and stuff. Like,
that's fun.
Making eye contact with audience members, which is the opposite of what we're taught to
do as
actors.
You're supposed to do, right, yeah.
Those two scenes, two of my favorite scenes I'll ever do.
Awesome.
That's a good one. Number 3, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer from 1964.
That's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
We have referenced it once already today
with
Dentist Elves.
At number 2, Elf from 2003.
That has really climbed
in
the 20 years since it was released. That one has – I know it was a decent hit when it came out, but who did thunk that it would become like a musical and an animated thing and all of this? Who knew? I mean, it's amazing.
Today, a little later today, Seth, Melissa, and I are going to get together to record our Christmas episode of Director's Cut.
Mm-hmm.
May have some random, weird, fun facts about Elf in there for you.
That's right.
And at number 1, and number one in Bria Hoyt's list, too, The Muppet Christmas Carol from 1992.
That is so amazing. This has been a long climb for it to get to number 1, but I think that's really cool. That's amazing.
It's a classic.
It is.
It is really, really well done.
It is.
Like, especially 100%. For the time it came out. And so recently, I came across an article that I had to share with Seth and Bria. They interviewed Michael Caine recently, and they were asking about iconic roles and famous roles that he's done and everything. And kind of out of that conversation came, he just kind of gave the information of his favorite role he's ever played, the one that meant the most to him. And it was this. It was a Christmas Carol.
Doing Ebenezer Scrooge on this one. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, of all the roles I would have guessed, that one wouldn't have come up, but it meant so much to him. And you can tell if you go back and watch it, because he plays it serious.
Oh, 100%.
Michael Caine's one of the best actors there's ever been.
Yes.
Period. And he approaches this like that. He mm-hmm. gives you that same level of skill and talent. I think the real catch with working with Muppets or animals or any of these things is how good an actor is doesn't matter. How much are they committed?
Yeah.
Are they all in?
You have to believe that you're acting with these puppets. Otherwise, no one is going to believe you when you're acting, because you got to play off it just the right way. Yep.
It took me a long time to give the credit finally to William Shatner about this, but I think William Shatner's greatest asset as an actor, as an entertainer, is that no matter what he does, he's all in.
100%. Committed, yeah.
And the man has had hit TV shows in the last 3 or 4 decades, yeah. And everything. He's got quite the career, but nobody looks at him as a thespian. Nobody looks at him as one of the world's greatest actors or anything, but his commitment is top-notch. Mm-hmm. Which makes you believe it more,
exactly.
Which makes you all the more in. We'll come back with some good stories, then I write stories, and plenty more for you on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show, everyone.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree.
Seth and James here with you, playing in a little Christmas music for you right there. Who is that?
I was going to say you should let it play up a little bit because...
Oh. Oh, yeah, it really picks up. It really picks up. Yeah.
That's a punk band by the name of Me First and the Gimme Gimmies. They do nothing but covers of songs you wouldn't expect a punk band to cover. They're right great. Right they right are up. Great.
It's a good name for a band, too. Yeah. Let's take a call from a listener real quick. What's on your mind?
Well, I got to talk to you guys about your list. You just went over the Christmas list.
Well, real quick, it wasn't our list. It wasn't our list, just so you know. It wasn't our list.
The list you found.
Yes.
But I guarantee it that my kids are not going to like me on Christmas Day, because I will be tuning into your podcast, because I am a huge fan of the M&R Jug Band Christmas. And I remember watching that as a kid. You remember those laser discs?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was on the laser disc, and my dad had one of those.
Oh, man.
That, you know, and it was just, you know, and then there was one Christmas. I actually rented, I think Red Box, I think it was, or something, and we rented out our Jug Band Christmas, and my kids hated me.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Like, and they're like, really? I'm like, this was a classic. If you ever watched The Muppets, that was one of the classics you had to watch.
It really was. They did so many like things in that they had never done before that were revolutionary at the time, and they continue to do to this day with puppeteering and everything mm-hmm. from that special. And it's just fun. It's just a fun, great music. It's fun.
It is.
Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you.
The one thing I am having a blank on, though, is the name of the band.
River Bottom Jug Band. Or you mean the Monster Band?
The Monster Band.
I never can remember the name of it either. I'm going to find that, though. I'm going to find that before we wrap up the show. I'll find it. You have a good day, sir.
All right. You guys have a great day.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Best listeners in radio there. Call up anytime, 424-2600. We'd love to hear from you. I want to touch on this story real quick. Shane McGowan of the Celtic punk band The Pogies
mm-hmm.
passed away last month.
Yes, he did.
And was laid to rest last Friday at a church in Dublin. Mourners included Nick Cave, Johnny Depp, Bob Geldof, and the president of Ireland was even there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful moment.
Yep.
After the funeral, there was a small invite-only celebration at a pub called the Thatched Cottage. There's no word on who was there. Presumably a lot of the people we just mentioned. But one thing we do know, they didn't have to pay for their drinks.
Really?
Shane took care of that. Before his death, he set aside $12,500 for a tab. And a friend of his said, quote, it was Shane's last request.
I'm not surprised. if you know anything about the Pogues and the band that fused punk with Irish music, basically is what they were. Shane McGowan is a very, very talented songwriter. In fact, there's a Christmas song that a lot of people play this time of year that the Pogues did, and it's a beautiful tune. Shane liked his drink.
Yeah.
He really liked he liked his booze.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised in the least.
It's kind of a cool story.
Yeah,
though,
it
you
is,
know?
Though.
We usually feature That Ain't Right stories here, so that's where I wanted to do it here, because I guess there might be some people out there that might think that about it. To mm-hmm. me, that's just a cool story.
It is.
You know, it's hard to lose people, and to do something like that is pretty cool.
Yeah, he was a very talented songwriter. So, it's a rest in peace, Shane.
River Bottom Nightmare Band. Nightmare Band. That's what it was. That's our palate cleanser. Seth, you had an honorable mention to the Christmas movies.
Oh, and I'm not surprised it wasn't on the list. It's my favorite version of A Christmas Carol. It was like 1984, a TV movie, I think. It starred George C. Scott, my favorite Scrooge, by the way. Speaking of playing it serious, man, mm-hmm. he really did.
Yeah.
But I think one of the reasons why that's not so popular is there are parts of it that are like actually scary.
Yeah.
The ghosts are actually a little bit terrifying in that. So I can see why not as many people are into that one.
Get to some local good stories of the day. And we've got a bunch of stuff going on for you. First off, want to say a big shout out and thank you to Tom Heiser. Tom joins us at the beginning of every month with our monthly veterans updates mm-hmm. and got us a really nice Christmas card.
Thank you, Tom.
I really like that card. That's a nice card, Tom. Nice pick. We also got a great Midday Magazine lined up for you today. In part one, we're going to talk to our friends at the Southwood County YMCA.
Nice.
Catch up with them. And in part two, Anna James, natural resource educator with UW-Madison Extension, going to be with us.
Very cool.
I always learn something talking to Anna.
She's
That's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Also wanted to remind everybody that mischievous merchant Merlin Elf is still out there. We got a tip for you, a little hint for you tomorrow to be able to find this guy.
Find him, take a picture, post it to Facebook,
Keep that in mind. And also keep in mind tonight that we've got a really fun thing going on at our sister station, WIRI 105.5. Jingle us up. Call us up 4 to 6 today. And put in those your little ones. They want to get those last-minute wishes into Santa.
Let's do that, yeah.
You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do this thanks to our great friends at Current Technology, Solaris, Quality Foods. We wish you a Merry Christmas, and we want you to have some fun with this. Call up. Our elves will answer your call. Calls from 4 to 6 today at 844-568-0636. That's 844-568-0636.
Mm-hmm.
Call up and get those last-minute wishes in, everybody.
Yeah.
I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, right.
And I wanted to also touch on, of course, this weekend lineup, Seth. I know we have a very fun Seth Faces to Music and Director's Cut lined up for people.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be actually recording the episode, Christmas episode of Director's Cut with Melissa a little later today. Mm-hmm. You have anything lined up for Seth Faces to Music?
I do. Last week, if you were listening, I did songs with little, so I got to do the opposite. Big.
Yeah.
We're going big.
Going big.
Going big this week on Seth Faces the Music. So tune in from 6 to 8 and check it out.
And from 8, stick around, because from 8 to 9, we'll be doing our Christmas episode of Director's Cut.
That's right.
Got a couple of hours of great local content for you every Sunday. Be sure to check that out.
Indeed.
Saxophone Santa is in the news. He's been playing holiday events in New England for 39 years.
Wow.
A reporter caught up with him at a tree farm in Connecticut the other day, and he said Jingle Bells is still his most requested song.
It is the quintessential song. I got to say, Jingle Bells is the one.
I thought that was pretty cool. That's pretty cool that that's happening. Seth, I want to remind everybody, too, that we have the Winter Farmers Market this weekend.
We do. It's the last one for the year, as a matter of fact, because of the holidays coming up. This Saturday the 16th, it'll be open from 9 to 1 at the Moravian Church, 310 First Avenue South. Go get your last opportunity, get some cool Christmas gifts, also have some food there, and some other great vendors. Go check out their Facebook page, type in Wisconsin Rapids Winter Farmers Market, find out who will be there, the vendors that will be there this weekend.
A big shout out to all of our guests that joined us today, all you callers, and a shout out to Madison Rafter from the Southwood County Maine Society with our Pet of the Week. Find out about Reba, this beautiful looking cat, and plenty of more great animals at SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com.
Yeah.
Encourage you to do that. Tomorrow, Terry John's going to be hanging out with us.
Nice.
We're ready for the weekend. A lot of good things lined up there. Otherwise, be good to each other. You know, Seth, my voice is going. Would you mind taking care of the
Okay, let's get ready. And WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.